Hello, everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and folks, today is a very special day. I mean, you might be listening to this another time, but this episode is coming out Tuesday, July 26th, the one-year anniversary of this podcast. That is right. Give me a round of applause. A whole year of being stupid. Boy, howdy do I love it. It also happens that this is going to be the 52nd episode released. It's the 51st character turned into a D&D character. I did have a Halloween special that I didn't number because I turned classic horror villains into NPCs, so it didn't really follow the usual process. Anyway, 52 episodes, averaging one episode a week for a year. So I figured I would release a special episode on the anniversary, Tuesday, the 26th of July, and I was drawing a blank as to what to do for the special episode. I thought, should I just do a regular episode, like a regular bonus episode, or should I maybe go back to the first episode I ever did, Zeus, and redo it? Kind of like a what if kind of thing. But then I thought, no. What is more fitting for the 1 year anniversary special of Fantasize Me than to turn myself into a D&D character? That is right. Today, we are turning Zach Katz into a D&D character. Yeah. All right, let's get started with some background. Zach was born in Connecticut on the eastern coast of the United States. A very active imagination and an avid reader who'd read so much. That's like all he did. All he wanted to do was either read or play video games. That's all he ever wanted to do. He just wanted to read. So much so that he would shirk other things, his schoolwork and household chores, to read. But he was always very imaginative. He would often go outside and play imagination in the yard, where he would imagine himself as the hero in just truly so many storylines, a dizzying amount of storylines, terrible writing, terrible character growth, but he had a lot of fun. Growing up, he did soccer for a little bit. It was not for him. I think he was in robotics club for like a couple weeks. It was not for him. I also think there was a magic class. Not the card game, but like, you know, a magician. It was not for him. He took piano lessons for a bit. It wasn't really for him, though he absolutely regrets not taking those piano lessons more seriously, because wouldn't it be cool to know how to play the piano? Yes, it would. He always wanted to take voice lessons, but then just didn't. Same with acting lessons. Always wanted to, and then just didn't. In eighth grade, so right before going into high school, he won the superlative for most artistic, probably because he would doodle on everything. On everything. His homework, his essays, his tests and quizzes, other people's homework on occasion when he forgot that they were doing that thing where you trade papers and grade the other person's assignments. So there's that. Then in high school, he got sick partway through freshman year. There was like a virus or something that attacked the muscle in his calf and he couldn't really walk and was just in constant pain for a very long time. So the school sent some tutors to his home so he could continue with his education. And then sophomore year, he came back still with a bit of a limp, but he eventually recovered and went on to do chorus. He was in the school's chorus, as well as the, like, special chorus. Because the school had general chorus, honors chorus, and then small group. And small group was kind of like an after-school activity. That was just a few of the people from Special Chorus who, you know, you had to audition to get in. I actually never did audition. I just got in. Not because I'm very good, but because there weren't a lot of tenors, and there I was. Anyway, he also did the musical. He was the Wiz in the musical The Wiz in high school. In his next year, he was in another high school musical, and then as a senior, he was in more high school musicals. And the high school offered this kind of program, I guess, an independent study. So in lieu of taking your finals as a senior, you could do an independent study and kind of present it at what really just looked like a bad science fair. So for my independent study, I was like, I want to learn Latin. So I pretty much sat home, ate Taco Bell, watched TV, played video games, and read for a few months. And then at the time to present, I was just like, Latin's hard. And that was pretty much it. He did win a superlative in high school as well, like the senior superlatives. Ooh, so special. He won most unique, which, I mean, yeah. After graduating high school, he attended a semester at WestCon, Western Connecticut State University, but kept suffering from migraines. So left after a semester. I don't even think they considered it dropping out. It was just like, you got in, you went to like a few classes and then spent the rest of the time sick. Like, you can just leave. And I'm like, tight. So then Zach just did some community theater. He was in Mary Poppins. He was in the ensemble there. And afterwards, he's like, you know what? Life's short. I want to travel. So at the age of 19, he backpacked through Europe for 1 month. He went to Ireland, took a ferry to Wales, a train to England, a train down through the Channel to Belgium, a train over to Germany, a train to Switzerland, and a train to Italy, where he stayed with family, before flying back to the U.S., And wouldn't you know it, he really wasn't a huge fan of the U.S. after that. He's like, wow, it's so much better in Europe. Pretty much everything is better in Europe. He did another musical for community theater, The Little Mermaid. He crushed it. He was just an ensemble member, but he was amazing, let's be honest. Worked for UPS for a little bit, just seasonal work, and then was like, you know what? I like to cook. I like Europe. I'm going to learn about cooking in Europe. So at the age of 21, he went to the Ballymallow Cookery School in Ireland and did their 12-week course. And that was incredible. It was just exposed to so many different cultures and cuisines. And it was the longest he had ever been away from home. And that prepared him for his next step. Where as soon as he got back to the U.S., he moved to Portland with his sister. When he first got to Portland, he did try to get some jobs in the culinary field before quickly deciding that wasn't for him. So instead, he worked at Barnes & Noble in Suncoast for a few years. It was good. He really likes movies. He loves books. Met a lot of really cool people that he's still in touch with. Whom he very much loves and adores, and if you're listening, you know who you are. Hi, I love you. He started going to PCC, Portland Community College, because he just felt stuck, I guess, and just started taking classes to get his associates in general studies. So he took a lot of psychology classes, but also some writing classes, mythology and folklore, a ballet class, a beginner's weightlifting class, anatomy and physiology, a few drawing classes, a few painting classes, more French classes, and just, you know, tried to find himself via education, because he really loves to learn, and it was a fun environment to learn in. And then the pandemic. Ooh, the pandemic. That was hard for him. because he was living in Portland and he had just left his job for unrelated reasons. The manager was so toxic and just mean and a straight up bully. So he left there, and then the pandemic hit. So it's like, okay, well, I can't find a job, and I'm not going to be able to collect unemployment. So he left Portland to stay with his sister and sister-in-law on the West Coast, and was there for 9 months. The scientists all said, hey, we just need to flatten the curve, okay? Everyone stay inside. And we did. We did not go anywhere for a very long time, but people suck. So it just ran rampant. I mean, you guys know, you are still living through the pandemic. So moved out of Portland remotely, and then after 9 months, moved back to Connecticut and finished up his associate's degree remotely, and then had a silly idea to start a podcast. That's right. And then he did, and it's this one. He was trying to think of an idea for a podcast because he thought it would be really fun, and a lot of people had told him he had a voice for radio anyway. Mostly they said he should record audiobooks. Been told that his entire life, and he's like, I don't know, that sounds hard. So he was talking to his sister one day, and he just mentioned how fun it would be to take characters and turn them into D&D characters. And she said, hey, why don't you make that your podcast? And I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I'm gonna do that. And then he did that, and it's this podcast, and you're listening to it right now, and you're caught up to the present, essentially. I mean, more things happened than just what I listed, but I think you get the gist. Anyway, now that you know a bit about background, let's pick Zach's background. So my first thought right off the bat is athlete, because of those, you know, that month or so that he played soccer as a child, you know, that really shaped him and taught him to just never play any more sports ever again. There's also entertainer, and I think that is fitting for him because he does love to entertain. As a dungeon master, his one goal is to just have it be entertaining and fun. And with all his content creation, he just wants people to have fun. He wants to make people smile. So entertainer is not a bad one. I'm also thinking sage because he's very introverted and just does not often leave his room, even as a child. So that might be a good one. But no, I think we're going to go entertainer. Ooh, or hermit, for the previously mentioned reasons of being an introvert. Also, my grandfather always calls me a hermit. So I think that one is very fitting. Although the skill proficiencies are in medicine and religion. And I'm not especially religious, and I do not know much about medicine. This is a tough one. Who is she, you know? Meanwhile, entertainer's acrobatics and performance. Acrobatics, probably not great. I can do a split and put my feet behind my head. So that's kind of acrobatic-esque. And performance does make more sense. Okay, we are going to go entertainer, skill proficiencies in acrobatics and performance, a disguise kit, and proficiency in one type of musical instrument. Let's do piano, because he'd taken some lessons there. He does sing a lot. All the time, actually. He's always singing. When he's by himself, when he's in public, it doesn't matter. He's just always singing. So entertainer, beautiful. Now that we have background, let's go to race. What race do we think is fitting for him? How about a changeling? Let's see. Oh, this is a tough one. What race would Zach Katz be? Honestly, his favorite race is the human variant. So I think let's do that. I think let's be variant human. So as a variant human, he's going to get a +2 for 2 ability scores of his choice, strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, or charisma. He's going to gain proficiency in 1 skill of his choice and gain a feat of his choice. So what do we think he's going to be proficient in? He's already proficient in acrobatics and performance. I like to think he's very insightful, also very persuasive. I think insight is fitting. And now he is going to pick a feat. What feat fits for Zach?
There's actor.
Athlete, again, calling his name. He knows how to, he can throw a ball. He can ball throw, be a ballman, you know? He can hit things with a bat, not accurately, but he can, you swing enough, you're bound to hit something. How about durable? He hardly ever gets stomach aches and can eat pretty much anything. He is a vegetarian. I forgot to mention that. He's been a vegetarian for over 18 years now, like 18 and a half years. Empathic. Ooh. I think empathic makes a lot of sense because he is very empathic. When he sees someone getting angry, he kind of gets angry. When he sees someone sad, he gets sad. I mean, you know what empathic means. And he's taken about a dozen psychology classes, so gaining insight into how other people think and feel is very apt for Zach. So let's give him the empathic feat. Beautiful. With that, he is going to increase his wisdom score by 1. He's going to gain proficiency in the insight skill, but if he's already proficient in it, which he is, he's going to gain expertise, which means he adds double his proficiency bonus to checks he makes with it. He can also use his action to try to get uncanny insight about one humanoid he can see within 30 feet of him. He's going to make an insight check contested by the target's deception, and if his check succeeds, Zach is going to have advantage on attack rolls and ability checks against the target until the end of his next turn. That's pretty cool, right? That's fun. Okay, I'm going to jot that down, empathic. So now that we have his background, entertainer, and his race, human variant, we can roll for stats. That is when you take a d6, a 6-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and then add up the remaining 3 for one of his 6 ability scores. So we're going to do that 6 times, and I really hope he rolls well. All right, I rolled for him, and he did pretty well. He got 16, 14, 13, 16, 16, and 12. 3 16s. Oh, so good. Okay, so now that we have those numbers, we can slot them in to where we think they should go. So I think his highest stat, he actually has 3 16s, so I think I'm going to put them all in the back. So 16 intelligence, 16 wisdom, and 16 charisma. And those are all +3 modifiers. Remember, he's going to get a +1 to wisdom from the empathic feat. So that is 17 wisdom. Next, we have a 14. I'm going to put that into constitution because he's fairly hardy. Does not get sick very often anymore. He used to get sick a lot, but that was mostly stress and depression. Now, haha, he is fine. Next highest is 13. I'm going to put that into strength. That's a +1 modifier there. He is not very strong, but, you know, he can manage. Then dexterity is going to be 12. That is also a +1 modifier, so he's not very dexterous. Actually, now that I am thinking about it, he has pretty good hand-eye coordination. Like, he can throw things fairly accurately, he can catch things fairly accurately. Well, regardless, in D&D terms, I think having a low dexterity for him does make sense. Okay, so next we have 2 +1s that we can distribute from being a variant human. So I'm going to put 1 into strength to make that a 14, which is now a +2 modifier, and 1 into wisdom, which will bump that to an 18, or a +4 modifier. Oh, look at that. He's so wise and also cute. Okay, starting stats are 14 strength, 12 dexterity, 14 constitution, 16 intelligence, 18 wisdom, and 16 charisma. I think that makes sense for him. I do. I like that. So now that we have all of that squared away, we can pick a class. So what class do we think Zach Katz is going to start in? It's gonna be Bard. I mean, of course it is. Come on, it's gonna be Bard. It's gotta be. He loves the Bard class, and also it's just very fitting for him. He loves being creative. He's constantly singing, and he likes inspiring people with his words and actions. Well, not so much his actions, but his words. So as a bard, he's going to gain proficiencies in light armor, simple weapons, hand crossbows, long swords, rapiers, short swords. Tools are going to be 3 musical instruments of his choice. So let's see, let's do the recorder, because he was forced to play one as a child, because I guess that's a common thing for children in American schools, is to just play the recorder and learn hot cross buns. I did learn part of one of the songs from Lord of the Rings on it. I don't remember which one. Anyway, so recorder, let's do ukulele, because recently one of his friends taught him a few chords on it. So, I mean, that's more than he knows on pretty much all other instruments. And they also got mad at me for saying ukulele. They're Hawaiian, and they said, ugh, it's ukulele. I'm like, oh, damn, all right, cool. Teach me chords. And then they did. Anyway, so recorder, ukulele, and violin. He cannot play the violin. He has never tried to play the violin. But if he could learn any instrument, it would be violin, because it's so beautiful. In Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of Animals, The Swan, that lilting violin, oh, it just gets him every time. And by the same composer, Danse Macabre is so beautiful. The violin's gorgeous. Okay, so recorder, ukulele, and violin. Perfect. Then he's also going to gain proficiency in any 3 skills. So already has proficiency in acrobatics, expertise in insight, and proficiency in performance. So I think we're going to go persuasion, maybe deception, because he's very good at lying. He doesn't really like to lie, but he's very good at it. So let's... Although stealth might not be bad either, because he's not... He's kind of a big dude, but he's been told that he has a very light tread. So let's do stealth, just because I think it's funny. And then we can also do deception. Boom. Okay, starting with 6 skill proficiencies. Whoever this guy is, he's so good at so many things. Wow, okay. Oh, and let's not forget he's going to gain proficiency in dexterity and charisma saving throws. It's funny, dexterity is his worst stat, and yet he's got proficiency in acrobatics, stealth, and dexterity saving throws. That's very funny. Okay, so as a first level bard, he's going to gain bardic inspiration. So now Zach can inspire others through stirring words or music, and can't he just? As a bonus action on his turn, he can choose one creature other than himself within 60 feet who can hear him. That creature is going to gain 1 bardic inspiration die, and that die currently is a d6. So the creature can then roll the die and add the number rolled to an ability check, attack roll, or saving throw it makes. The creature can wait until after it rolls the d20 before deciding whether to use the die, but it has to decide before the DM says whether the roll succeeds or fails. Once the bardic inspiration die is used, it is lost, and a creature can only have 1 bardic inspiration die at a time. The rules say that a creature with bardic inspiration can only roll the die once within the next 10 minutes, but I never pay attention to that time limit. Inspiration can last for longer than 10 minutes, and Zach can use bardic inspiration a number of times equal to his charisma modifier, which is 3 times. Right now, he can give bardic inspiration out 3 times to 3 friends, or just 1 friend 3 times. He's really trying to inspire them. And Zach also has spellcasting. Haha, she's a witch. Yes. So Zach's gonna know 2 cantrips of his choice from the bard spell list. And his spellcasting ability is going to be charisma. So a spell save DC, or what a target has to equal or beat in order to resist the effects of his spells, is 8 plus his proficiency bonus plus his charisma modifier. Proficiency bonus at first level is +2. So 8 plus 2 plus 3, it's a spell save DC of 13. Not bad for first level. And his spell attack modifier is just proficiency bonus plus charisma modifier, so +5. Also, not bad for first level. let's go second level in Bards, where he's going to gain Jack of All Trades, one of my favorite abilities. So now he can add half his proficiency bonus, rounded down, to any ability check he makes that doesn't already include his proficiency bonus. So now she can add a +1 to everything that she is not proficient in. Look at that, gorgeous. And eventually, proficiency bonus will go to +6. So that is going to mean a +3 to everything that she's not proficient in. So cool. He's also going to gain Song of Rest. So during a short rest, he can just sing a soothing melody or read a book aloud to someone. And if Zach or any friendly creatures who can hear his performance regain hit points by spending hit dice at the end of the short rest, each of those creatures is going to regain an additional 1d6 hit points. So it's not much, it's not especially useful, but it's free healing that he can do every short rest, and that is really awesome. Third level, he is going to choose his Bard College, so the Bard subclass. So what Bard subclass do we think is most fitting for Zach Katz? The College of Glamour, perhaps? College of Whispers of Satire? I think the College of Eloquence. Yay, yay. Yeah, I think that's fitting. So College of Eloquence, he is going to gain the ability Silver Tongue. Ooh. So he is a master at saying the right thing at the right time, and he, if you know him, you know that, you know, he is pretty good at that. He was very much considering going to get his bachelor's in social psychology and then a master's in counseling psychology, but thought that that sounded hard. Anyway, he's good at giving advice. So when he makes a persuasion or deception check, he can treat a d20 roll of 9 or lower as a 10. That is so good because he already has +5 in both deception and persuasion. So now, unless he gets a nat 1, the lowest he can get on those two checks is a 15. That is very good, and that's just going to get higher as his proficiency bonus increases. He is also going to gain the ability from the College of Eloquence, Unsettling Words. So he can now spin words laced with magic that unsettle a creature and cause it to doubt itself. As a bonus action, he can expend one use of his Bardic Inspiration and choose one creature he can see within 60 feet of him. He's going to roll the Bardic Inspiration die, and the creature has to subtract the number rolled from the next saving throw it makes before the start of Zach's next turn. So this is so cool. He can just use Unsettling Words, roll a d6 and subtract it from their next saving throw, and then cast, like, Charm Person or something that forces them to make a saving throw or become charmed by him. And then they're already just gonna have that reduction in there. That's very fun, very cool. And, you know, he can be a little manipulative, which is not always a bad thing. Also at third level, he is going to gain Expertise. So he already has Expertise and Insight, so he's just going to choose two of his skill proficiencies, and his proficiency bonus is going to be doubled for those. So right now, proficiency bonus is +2, but all of those are going to gain a +4 instead. So let's choose performance, right? Because he's very performative. He lives his whole life as if he's the main character. And that's what a lot of people should do. Be the star, while also keeping in mind that the ensemble is also very important. So I guess, you know, be a leading lady, but don't be a dick about it. So with Expertise, Performance, and Persuasion both use Charisma, which is a +3 modifier. Double that proficiency bonus to +4, he now has a +7 to both Performance and Persuasion. Very good, very fun. Let's go fourth level in Bard. That's an ability score improvement, so he can increase one ability score of his choice by 2, or increase two ability scores of his choice by 1. Or he can pick a feat, but I think for now we are going to just bump Charisma up from a 16 to an 18. That is a +4 modifier, and that means his spell save DC goes up, his spell attack modifier goes up, his charisma-based skills go up, his charisma saving throws go up, and he gets another use of Bardic Inspiration. So very, very useful to increase that charisma. Now for fifth level, I think we're going to go in Bard again, just because now his Bardic Inspiration die changes to a D8. So that's going to help his allies when he gives them bardic inspiration, but also help even further when he uses unsettling words to reduce someone's saving throw. Also, why I wanted to go fifth level in bard is he's going to gain font of inspiration. So, previously, when he would use all uses of bardic inspiration, he wouldn't get those back until he finished a full 8-hour rest. Well, now, he gets back all expended uses of bardic inspiration when he finishes a short or long rest. That's so useful! Instead of just, like, going to sleep for 8 hours to get them back, he can just take a quick 1-hour break, use his Song of Rest to regain some hit points, give hit points to his pals, and then have all 4 of those uses of bardic inspiration back. Sixth level, we are going to multi-class. Because I'm looking, he's got a really high wisdom, but he's not using it. So let's go to Wizard. Now, I know what you're thinking, Wizard doesn't use wisdom, it uses intelligence. And you're right. Anyway, so as a wizard, he's also going to have spellcasting. So he's going to know 3 cantrips of his choice from the wizard's spell list. He's going to get a cool spell book. That probably looks like those spell books from Zatch Bell. Do you remember that show, Zatch Bell? It was interesting. Like, it was good. I watched a lot of it, but those spell books always looked really cool to me. So his probably looks like a Zatch Bell spell book. Intelligence is going to be his spellcasting ability, so his spell save DC is going to be 8, plus his proficiency bonus, plus his intelligence modifier. Well, at 5th level, his proficiency bonus went up to plus 3, so it's 8 plus 3 plus 3, so 14, and his spell attack modifier is just proficiency bonus plus intelligence, which is a plus 6. So pretty good spell save DC and spell attack modifier for all of his wizard spells. He's also going to get Arcane Recovery. So once per day when he finishes a short rest, he can choose expended spell slots to recover that have a combined level that is equal to or less than half his wizard level rounded up. So now he can take a short rest, use Song of Rest to get hit points, regain all uses of bardic inspiration, and regain a first level spell slot. That's pretty darn cool, right? That's fun. 7th level, we are going to go second in Wizard, and he is going to pick his Arcane Tradition, or the Wizard subclass. So let's look at these Wizard subclasses and see which one is most fitting for Zach. You know what I'm going to choose? I'm going to choose Cronergy Magic, because Zach has kind of a fear of the passage of time. So I think giving him some control over time would be very good for him. So as a Cronergy Magic Wizard, he's going to gain the ability Chronal Shift. So as a reaction, after he or a creature he can see within 30 feet of him makes an attack roll, an ability check, or a saving throw, he can force the creature to re-roll. He's going to make this decision after he sees whether the roll succeeds or fails, and the target has to use the result of the second roll. He can use this ability twice per long rest, but I think that's really cool. An attack's coming at him and they roll a nat 20, he can just use Chronal Shift and force them to re-roll, potentially missing him. Or if an ally fails their dexterity saving throw, he can use Chronal Shift and just have them roll again to potentially avoid the effects and succeed on their dexterity saving throw. That's very cool. Also, one of the things I wanted from this is temporal awareness. So now he can add his intelligence modifier to his initiative rolls. This is important because dexterity is used to determine initiative, so he would only have a plus 1 to initiative. But now he adds his intelligence, so he has a plus 4 total to his initiative bonus. I think that makes sense because he tries to put thought into his actions and kind of use that intelligence to enhance that initiative. 8th level, we are going to leave Wizard and instead go into Cleric. So I think this makes sense because we use the intelligence and, you know, he classic gifted kid where they were like, hey, be in all of these advanced classes. And I'm like, ha ha ha, that sounds hard. I don't want to do that. So we use that intelligence. Now let's use some of that wisdom from being a cleric. As a cleric, he's going to gain proficiency in medium armor and shields. That's really helpful because his armor class was trash. With just light armor, he had an armor class of, what, 12? And now he has an armor class of about 15 if he is wielding a shield. definitely helpful. So as a first level cleric, he is going to gain spellcasting, this time using wisdom as his spellcasting modifier. So he's going to know another three cantrips of his choice from the cleric spell list, including guidance, which is Zach's favorite cantrip, so we gotta give that to him. And with wisdom as his spellcasting ability, it's going to be 8, plus his proficiency bonus, which is still plus 3, plus his wisdom modifier, which is plus 4. So 8 plus 3 plus 4, his spell save DC is 15, and his spell attack modifier is proficiency bonus plus wisdom, or a plus 7. So, pretty dang good, Zach. That's pretty good. As a first level cleric, he is going to gain his divine domain. So that is the cleric subclass. So for bard, he had to get to third level to get his subclass. Wizard, second level to get his subclass. But cleric, he just gets it at first level. Isn't that fun? So I think we are going to choose the knowledge domain. There are so many cleric subclasses, but I think knowledge domain is the most fitting. He is going to gain the ability Blessing of Knowledge. So he's going to learn two languages of his choice, which is awesome, because he can speak some French. Oui, il parle un petit peu de français, mais pas bien. He can speak a little French, but not well. So what language is most like French? In my mind, it is Elvish. So let's do Elvish, because I see Elvish as being very like fluid and having a lot of consonants that are just not pronounced at all. And that's French. You can have a word full of consonants and pronounce none of them. A second language, let's see, what else can he speak? Nothing, just English and French. But he wishes he could speak, I guess, Italian, so that he could speak to his Italian relatives. What language is like Italian? How about Primordial? I don't think that sounds like Italian at all, but I like the sound of the word Primordial. It's fun to say. So there we go. So now Common, Elvish, and Primordial are the languages, and he's also going to become proficient in his choice of two of the following skills: Arcana, History, Nature, or Religion. I think we're going to do Arcana and History. Now get this, he's just going to automatically gain expertise in those. Boom. Just like that, his proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check he makes that uses either of those skills. How cool is that? Right? He's just going to gain two languages and expertise in two skills. So cool. And I think Arcana is fitting because he's a bit of a witch. You know, she's a little witchy. And History, because he likes history. Well, learning about history is usually very depressing, but sometimes it's pretty cool, you know? Depending on what time period you're looking at. No, they're all pretty bad. Anyway, so let's do second level in Cleric. He is going to gain Channel Divinity, and the Channel Divinity is fine. He can use it once per short or long rest. The just class one is called Turn Undead, so as an action, each undead that can see or hear him within 30 feet has to make a wisdom saving throw, and if they fail, they are turned for 1 minute or until they take any damage. But he's also going to get a Channel Divinity from that knowledge domain, and that is called Knowledge of the Ages. So now Zach can use his Channel Divinity to tap into a divine well of knowledge, which I like to call the internet. So as an action, he can choose one skill or tool, and for 10 minutes, he's going to have proficiency with the chosen skill or tool. So that's really cool. Say Zach has to change a tire. He doesn't remember how to change a tire from driver's ed. Actually, that's a lie, he does. But say he doesn't. He can just use this channel divinity and be like, oh yeah, that's how you do it. Which, in this scenario, is him just looking up a video on how to change a tire and then following those steps. There we go. He's very resourceful. Now for, what level is he? 10th? Yeah, okay, for 10th level, let's hop back into Bard. And I think we are probably just going to stick with Bard from now on. So a 6th level Bard, he is going to gain Counter Charm. So as an action, he can start a performance that lasts until the end of his next turn, and during that time, Zach and any friendly creatures within 30 feet of him are going to have advantage on saving throws against being frightened or charmed. That's pretty cool, because being frightened sucks. Being charmed doubly sucks. So having a defense against that's very useful. But at 6th level, he's also going to gain a Bard College feature from the College of Eloquence. Two abilities, actually. The first one is Unfailing Inspiration. So when a creature adds one of Zach's Bardic Inspiration dice to their ability check, attack roll, or saving throw, and the roll fails, the creature can just keep that Bardic Inspiration die. That is awesome, because it's such a bummer when you roll your Bardic Inspiration and you fail anyway, and then it's just like, oh, well, that Bardic Inspiration die is gone, so that sucks. Now, haha, it's not gone. It's still there. He's also going to gain the ability Universal Speech. So he's gained the ability to make his speech intelligible to any creature. As an action, he can choose one or more creatures within 60 feet of him, up to a number equal to his charisma modifier, which is 4 at the moment, and the chosen creatures can magically understand him regardless of the language he speaks for 1 hour. And he can use that once per long rest, unless he expends a spell slot to use it again. One of the reasons I like this is because when he was in Italy, there were times where he was with family members who did not speak any English, and Zach does not really speak any Italian. But we were still able to have a really fun time and communicate with each other, because words are overrated, facial expressions and gestures and just, you know, your general vibe can convey a lot of things. So boom, universal speech. Now let's go 7th level in Bard, that is 11th overall. He is going to gain access to 4th level Bard spells. Some fun stuff there for Bards. 8th level in Bard, 12th overall, that's another ability score improvement. So let's take that charisma and bump it up to a 20. Let's max it out. And that is a +5 modifier. So now he has 5 uses of Bardic Inspiration. Very nice. 9th level in Bard, 13th overall, his Song of Rest is going to be improved. So now instead of healing a d6, it is now 1d8. So it's barely better, but it still is better. So that's nice. 10th level Bard, his Bardic Inspiration is going to change from a d8 to a d10. So now he has 5 d10s he can met out as he sees fit. And he's also going to gain Expertise again. So let's see, what does he not have expertise in? Acrobatics, deception, and stealth. Wow, none of those sound very fitting for Zach. Let's do deception, because again, he's very good at lying. Probably got that way from all the practice of lying to himself. No, he's fine. And let's do stealth, because again, I just find that very funny. It's like, hey, where'd Zach go? I don't know. He ducked down behind the couch, and I think he got stuck there, so let's just leave him. The third thing he gets as a 10th level bard, so you get so much at 10th level, and magical secrets. So now he can choose 2 spells from any classes, including bard, to just learn. They have to be of a spell level that he can cast, as shown on the bard table, or a cantrip. Well, as a 10th level bard, he can cast spells of up to 5th level. So he can learn, like, Counterspell is a great spell, or Revivify. Zach can just have the ability to bring people back from the dead. That's cool. I don't know if he would want that, because the idea of having control over whether someone lives or dies is giving him a little bit of anxiety. 11th level in Bard, that is 15th overall. He is just going to gain access to 6th level Bard spells. 12th level in Bard, that is, 16th overall? Ooh, we're getting up there. That's another ability score improvement. So I think we gotta give him a feat, because Zach absolutely loves feats. He always says that he's a feat slut. A lot of people have told him to stop saying that because it makes them uncomfortable, but he just loves them so much. He loves them. There's so many fun feats. Like, what if we gave Zach Spell Sniper? Isn't that fun? That's so fun. Okay, no, but what do we think makes sense for Zach to have? What's a good feat for him? How about Lucky? Because he is pretty lucky and pretty privileged, and I think it makes sense for him to have that reflected in some way. So he's going to have 3 luck points. Whenever he makes an attack roll, an ability check, or a saving throw, he can spend 1 luck point to roll an additional d20. He can choose to spend one of his luck points after he rolls the die, but before the outcome is determined. And he can choose which of the d20s is used for the attack roll, ability check, or saving throw. What's cool is that he can also spend one luck point when an attack roll is made against him. He'll roll the d20 and then choose whether the attack uses the attacker's roll or his. He's going to regain all expended luck points when he finishes a long rest, but this is really cool because Zach has kind of inadvertently become able to affect a lot of rolls. From his Chronergy, he has Chronal Shift, which can force rerolls. He can use Lucky, which essentially forces rerolls. He can use Unsettling Words to take a D10 away from someone's saving throw, or give Bardic Inspiration to add a D10 to an ally's attack roll, ability check, or saving throw. That's really cool. That's fun. Zach, come on, you're so strong now. If only you were like that in real life, right? 13th level Bard, 17th overall. That Song of Rest is going to change from a D8 to a D10. That's pretty cool. 14th level in Bard, that is 18th overall. He's going to gain magical secrets again. So now as a 14th level Bard, he has access to 7th level spells, so he can pick 2 spells from any class to learn. There are so many, I'm not going to go into them. I think Zach would mostly have spells for support. So maybe some summoning spells, or maybe like Bless, or Warding Bond, Shield of Faith. Ooh, Shield of Faith could be a good one. Although he has levels in Cleric, so we could already know that. Y'all, there are so many spells. I'm not going through them. But also at 14th level in Bard, he's going to gain his final Bard College feature from the College of Eloquence, which I think is one of my favorite features from any Bard subclass. It's called Infectious Inspiration. When Zach successfully inspires someone, the power of his eloquence can now spread to someone else. When a creature within 60 feet of him adds one of his Bardic Inspiration dice to their ability check, attack roll, or saving throw, and the roll succeeds, Zach can use his reaction to encourage a different creature, other than himself, that can hear him within 60 feet of him, and give them Bardic Inspiration without expending any of his remaining Bardic Inspiration uses. How cool is that? So if he gives someone Bardic Inspiration and they fail their roll, they don't lose that Bardic Inspiration. They can keep using it. And even if they succeed, Zach can use his reaction to just inspire someone else. He can use that reaction a number of times equal to his charisma modifier per long rest. So he can do that 5 times per long rest. But that essentially doubles his use of Bardic Inspiration, right? Because he can just give it out another 5 times. Oh, Zach, you're so inspiring, and doesn't he know it? He really is. 15th level in Bard, that is 19th overall. His Bardic Inspiration is going to change from a D10 to a D12. It has maxed out. So now he has 5 uses of a D12 of Bardic Inspiration to give his allies or use for unsettling words and take a D12 away from a target saving throw. 16th level in Bard, 20th overall, the final level. He is going to gain an ability score improvement. Well, we gotta pick another feat, right? We simply gotta. He already has Empathic and Lucky, so what else should he have? I'm thinking he has a lot of ways to inspire, and there is a feat called Inspiring Leader, but I don't know if that is super fitting. He's not really one to give speeches. He can. He did take a public speaking class and absolutely nailed it. And this one time, he had to write like this whole essay to, it wasn't in a public speaking class, it was in just an English class. He had to write an essay taking a stance on something. So he wrote it about testing on animals, like cosmetics testing on animals, and then bullshitted the entire essay. And when he gave his speech, everyone was just so floored by how well he did that the teacher was like, hey, we're doing like a school-wide competition, and if you do well enough, like you can go up against another school. And Zach is like, no, that's okay, I don't want to do that. Because he's like, ooh, everything I said in this essay was a lie, and I don't want to push my luck. So that was a That was an anecdote. I don't know if it was a fun anecdote per se, but it happened. Anyway, how about performer? He likes performing and acting. Is there one for singing? He sings all the time. Silver-tongued, kind of. How about squat nimbleness? Because he's small. No. You know what? I am gonna do actor. I'm looking through these all, and I think that one's the most fitting. So he's gonna increase his charisma score by 1 to a maximum of 20. Well, it's already maxed out at 20, so I'm just gonna put that somewhere else. Let's put it in intelligence. That's gonna bump that up to a 17, so that doesn't change the modifier at all. And the reason why I did that is because, you know, if I had actually planned this class ahead, I would have given him one less in charisma so that I could take this. And as a DM, if my player has a maxed out stat, I don't want them to feel like they shouldn't take a feat because it would waste that ability score improvement. You know what I mean? You get it. Maybe you don't. It's fine. I get it. Now Zach is going to have advantage on deception and performance checks he makes when trying to pass himself off as a different person. So, okay. Let me tell you how crazy that is. Remember from being a College of Eloquence bard, the Silver Tongue ability means he can treat deception checks of 9 or lower as a 10. He has expertise in deception, so he has a plus 17 to deception. That means the lowest he can get on a deception check is 27. And he's going to have advantage on that roll. It's very feasible that he is almost always going to get above 30 on deception checks when he's trying to pass himself off as someone else. Who is this guy? Man, Zach must be such an incredible actor, and people should get in touch with him for their actual plays and other things like that. He's also pretty good at voice acting. Just saying. Anyway, he can also mimic the speech of another person or the sounds made by other creatures. He must have heard the person speaking or heard the creature make the sound for at least 1 minute. And a successful insight check contested by his deception check will allow the listener to determine that the effect is faked. But again, him having a bad deception check is very unlikely, especially if he has advantage on it. So the person trying to do that insight check must have incredible insight in order to see past his deception. Also, if he rolls poorly, say he gets 2 nat ones, he can just use the lucky feat and roll again. I mean, no one is going to see him for what he really is. If he wants to put on a show, he's gonna put on a show. And that's him. That's Zach. That's Zach Katz. We did it. Oh man. Okay, let's look at this. So, Zach Katz, podcaster extraordinaire. Background, entertainer. Race, human variant. He is a level 16 College of Eloquence bard, a level 2 Chronergy wizard, and a level 2 knowledge domain cleric. His ending stats are 14 strength, 12 dexterity, 14 constitution, 17 intelligence, 18 wisdom, and 20 charisma. I think that's pretty fitting. I kind of wish strength was lower and constitution or intelligence were higher. And if I did plan it out, I could have made strength a 13 or a plus 1 modifier and have that intelligence be an 18 or a plus 4 modifier. And I think that would be more fitting, but I don't want to futz with it too much. So for skills, he has 8 skill proficiencies, and there's only one that he does not have expertise in. And it makes sense because that's acrobatics. So he has a plus 7 to acrobatics, which is already so high, a plus 15 to arcana, plus 17 to deception, plus 15 to history, plus 16 to insight, plus 17 to performance, plus 17 to persuasion, and my favorite thing, plus 13 to stealth. Zach is so good at hiding. I don't know what he's hiding from, but he's very good at it. Saving throws, he has plus 7 to dexterity saving throws, and plus 11 to charisma saving throws. Languages, he has common, elvish, and primordial. Tool proficiencies, he's proficient in disguise kits, the piano, recorder, ukulele, and violin. For feats, he has empathic, because he feels very deeply what other people are feeling. Lucky, because he has had a very lucky, privileged, blessed life. And actor, because he's just such a talented actor. Very humble, too, from what I hear. So my image of Zach, ooh, this is going to be fun. Okay, let's see. So my idea for Zach, he's running from some eldritch horror, which he angered, as he is wont to do. And this horror chases him all the way to the Natural History Museum in New York City. So he goes into it using his incredible stealth to sneak in and attempt to hide from the Eldritch Horror. But this Eldritch Horror is one not to be fooled in that regard. So the Eldritch Horror is like, "Hey, I see you." And Zach is like, "Okay, you see me, but surely I am not the one you seek. My name is Bartholomew Beauregard, and I am merely a visitor of this establishment." And the Eldritch Horror is like,
"Oh, okay. I'm confused because you look exactly like the person I was chasing, but you say you're someone else, and you say it really convincingly, so I guess that's fine."
And the Eldritch Horror turns to leave, and this might shock you, but that Bartholomew Beauregard, that was Zach the whole time. And as the Eldritch Horror's back is turned, Zach casts Tsunami and just absolutely wrecks their shit. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me, the 1 year anniversary special. Y'all, it has been a fun year, you know, carving out a little place for myself on Twitter and trying to get into Twitch streaming. If you're listening to this day of, I am going to be doing a AMA on Twitch, an Ask Me Anything kind of thing on Twitch, Tuesday, July 26th at 6 p.m. EDT. And even if you're listening to this afterwards, you can still catch that video over on my Twitch, twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. You can email in character suggestions, okay? A lot of the characters I have done in this show have been suggestions from listeners just like you. You can email in to fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Whatever you want. You can email in someone real, you can email in someone fake, someone from a book or movie or TV show or anime or video game. I can turn them into a D&D character. I even turned the Titanic into a D&D character. It can be whatever you want. Let's have some fun with it. Please email in to fantasizemepod@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. Over on my Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/fantasizeme, I have commissions set up there. I can make custom stat blocks for monsters or NPCs or PCs, whatever you want, I can invent and build for you. And then the lovely @DMSCreations on Twitter will create gorgeous digital art to go along with whatever I make for you. All proceeds of those commissions will go to the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund. So please check that out. Again, that is ko-fi.com/fantasizeme. Check out the commissions there to support Ukraine. Remember to rate 5 stars and tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your friends' enemies. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again next year. Bye!